रही है डकार।
Hello, I'm Geetanjali and this is my food podcast Dekar. So last month, coconut oil slipped into controversy. अब कभी कभी शरीफ लोग भी फिसल जाते हैं. People who have missed this piece of news, let me tell you that a Harvard professor apparently claimed that coconut oil is one of the worst things you can eat and it's nothing but pure poison. So 3rd September was Coconut Day and this topic was highly debated upon. It was definitely a shocking statement to make, especially when we know that since ages, coconut oil, may that be virgin or non-virgin, refined or non-refined, cold-pressed or not, is almost used for every issue here. And India is one of the largest producers. Aur phir yahan to sentiments ko jaldi hi hurt hote hain. Care moving on, today on my podcast, I have with me Raveena Taurani, owner of Yogi Sattva. Raveena totally believes in living a wholesome, healthy life, and you'll get to know everything about it in our next segment. So let's welcome her on our show.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Pet Pooja, Kyan Bhandar.
Raveena, Yogi Sattva is a gourmet organic health-based company, but organic, you know, is basically going back to basics. So how do you manage to gourmetize it?
I think it's pretty much to do with taking our regular fruit and veg and then creating something that's more premium out of it. Taking something as simple as, you know, your orange and making an interesting cake out of it, or taking apple and using it as applesauce in desserts. And it's just using like carrots to make a vegan cheese dip. So it's using our fruit and veg on a most basic level, but really experimenting and bringing new flavors on the table.
And how do you go about educating an audience who are used to of consuming a particular taste?
Over the years, because certain foods are cheaper, we've sort of inclined towards buying it. So if you see, a McDonald's is always packed, a Burger King always has people, but that doesn't necessarily mean the food is good for you. We also got into the revolution of advertising. Our parents' generation is the generation that had all those Saffola and canola oil advertisers. So they know about these things through watching television, and that's how they went about buying it. So the buying has changed a lot. A lot of the food from our grandparents' time used to be homemade, but from our parents' generation stopped being homemade and more store-bought. Like I remember in our house when yogurt used to be made, it used to be made homemade. But in my parents' generation now, there's, you know, always store-bought yogurt. So it's changed a lot. And these are the things, this is the basic problem that has happened. So I'm not saying that you need to be vegan or you need to be gluten-free to like live a healthy lifestyle. I'm saying you need to eat homemade food. That's our basic philosophy. So everything we make, it's food that we would want to eat at home. It's clean food. There's no preservative, so you can't buy it in bulk. It'll never be packaged in, you know, to be sold on a mass level. Because we knew we were going to do something fresh. And that's what we wanted to stay true to. So even in terms of having maida in a cake, nutritionally, it's not that great for you. But say you switch to a brown rice or even a white rice, it's still much more nutritionally effective. Buckwheat is better. Just using grains that have more nutritional value is the goal. You know, using ingredients you can pronounce pretty much.
But don't you feel the word organic comes with an expensive tag?
It's largely expensive, one, because the demand for it is limited. The supply has increased, but the demand is still limited, so the prices are high. Also, what happens is every time a new sort of trend starts, there's an inflation price to it. And there are a lot of things, like even now today in our business, when we buy brown rice, you know, flour, or we buy chia seeds, they're so much more expensive here. Just buying organic and buying organic dry fruit is the biggest cost of all. So there is that thing of like, if more people do it, it will go down. But more people doing it, it has to be a significant number for the price to go down. It's like how everybody today has at some point in their life bought one Nestle ka milk packet. That's the kind of sale it needs to go for organic, so that at some point the price drops.
So do you think fancy packaging or advertising can help this category?
I don't know if it's necessarily advertising or fancy packaging, but I think it's more like awareness. When I started Yogi Sattva and when we started with our cooking classes, I really used that as a platform to not only teach recipes, but to also educate people. I think what happened largely is that, you know, we get caught up in like, okay, these people are doing this, so let's follow this trend. But why are you following this trend? You know, do you need to? are you seriously gluten intolerant that you have given up gluten? Are you lactose intolerant that you've given up dairy? So it's also about educating yourself. Advertising, yes, to a great degree helps because it's the only way to like reach out to a large number of people. And in terms of packaging, I cannot tell you that when we started, we used to use really basic packaging, and the amount of pressure we have received to like improve our packaging and make it more gift friendly. So I understand that people also want to give food to other people that comes in a beautiful package. So yeah, these things do matter, but ultimately it is about having these open conversations and an open dialogue on like, where is India going forward? Like, where is the future of organic? How can we start small? And how do we start today?
So fellow listeners, Yogi Sattva hampers for Diwali then? Ravina, clean eating has taken a misguided turn. We are spoiled with too many products and too much knowledge on WhatsApp or from where not. How does one go about segregating it? Like as kids, we were forced to drink milk and now we are asked to go dairy free. We blindly go with the fad without any clear explanations for the same.
So the simplest tool that I tell everybody to is first listen to your body. You are your own teacher, you are your own nutritionist, you are your own guide, and you are responsible for your health. So the easiest way I tell people to sort of monitor what's suiting them or no is to have sort of a food diary and then check how they feel through the day. Is it after certain foods, after a period of 2 hours, they are not feeling so good? Is the stomach feeling bloaty? That's an indication that probably what they ate for 2 hours before, either for lunch or breakfast, did not suit them. Are they waking up in the morning with bloating? What did they eat for dinner? Are their eating timings regular? How much water are they drinking? So it's about going back to the basics. Eating clean is not genius. Everybody knows you should get rid of fried food, limit your sugar intake, and just eat like wholesome meals. Eat your colors, eat the rainbow, eat fruit and veg. You know, make home food, don't buy packaged food. If you are really into McDonald's, try and limit it to once a week. Try and eliminate fast food eventually from your life because it's not doing you any favors. And really have no aerated beverages because they're full of sugar. It's not a genius diet. People have know about this for a long time. It's just about lifestyle. It's adopting it as an everyday lifestyle and making it part of your self-nourishment. So I don't really believe clean eating is a fad. I just think it's for the health industry to stay relevant. There has to be articles about it. Like, they have to continuously come up with research so that people stay interested, just like any other business. So at the end of the day, this is a market and there is a game of economics at play, but it's the most important thing is for the consumer to know that ultimately the consumer has the most power, and without the consumer, the industry is worthless. So this, I feel, is really important for people to know.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. You know, everyone in their life needs a push when we genuinely understand the value of a healthy mind and body. You yourself are from media background. What was the groundbreaking moment in your life that drew you towards forming Yogi Sattva?
So Yogi Sattva largely started because I developed lactose intolerance. I got really, really ill 3 years ago. Over a period of 2 weeks, I had these non-stop stomach infections and I was really sick to the point that I even got a sonography because I really thought like there's something more really wrong with me on a deeper level and I needed some more scientific evidence to confirm it. But the sonography came out clean. And it was just through like reading different articles on like, you know, what can you do to cure yourself? Because I was on this bout of medication. Plus in India, whenever anybody gets stomach upset, they give you khichdi, which is basically rice and curd. So I was consuming khichdi only. So every day curd was being consumed. And then I just read this article online that, you know, you try giving up dairy for a week to see like if it suits you. I decided I'll give up dairy for the week. In a period of 3 days, I had completely recovered. And I was in shock because I'm somebody who's grown up eating like paneer, has had milk all her life and everything. So I was like, oh my god, this is really strange. But then getting a few food allergy tests and stuff, I realized that I was lactose intolerant. I'm not particularly gluten intolerant, but my only grain that I can't tolerate is wheat. But I can have other types of gluten. So I just decided that when I became lactose intolerant, it became a way for me to now start researching how to make food for myself. And I was really heavily practicing yoga at the time. And in yoga, wherever you practice in these retreats, it's very common to get vegan food. So I was developing all this amazing strength. My sleep was better. My skin looked great. Everything was amazing. And I decided I'll come back from this yoga course and I'll fly to Bali to study how to be a vegan chef. And I largely started out just for myself. But then through the journey of Yogi Sattva, with so much encouragement from my friends, they were like, you have to start selling food. And then it just became through that journey that I just decided, okay, I'm going to take the plunge and start selling food. And this is 3 years ago, where veganism was not as popular as it is today. And nobody knew about anything. You know, nobody knew about acai or matcha or maca or all these like superfoods. That time, I wasn't sure if there would be sort of receptivity to my food. But touch wood, it's really worked in my favor. And yeah, I just went for it. I really didn't think about it. I was very clear that I didn't want to have any sort of strong notion that people must eat only my way. I just wanted to have a flexible attitude towards eating in general, and a more inclusive one. The minute you tell people that they can't eat this in their diet, they're less likely to follow it. But the minute you tell them this is all you can eat, they're so much more excited. And that's sort of the principle with the brand as well. It's sort of inclusive, like, let's include you in our food plan. Let's not exclude your life out of it. So in my regular cooking classes also, I have people who are both vegan or eating meat. And I don't mind and I don't judge, because it doesn't matter to me. It's your life and it's your lifestyle choices. This is the food I make and I believe in. So you're welcome to share it with me.
So currently under Yogi Sattva, what all are you guys providing with?
So right now we retail vegan desserts daily. We've also started some savory breads and we're going to start savory dips as well. We provide cooking classes. I'm a yoga teacher myself, so I provide yoga classes, as well as we do food consultancy. So if you're a restaurant or a catering business and you want help with creating more vegan options on your menu, so then we provide that sort of to you. And we also just take part in helping people in different activities. So we combine like yoga and food workshops, or we cater for different workshops. So we have like a multi-dimensional thing for the business, so that we also can stay relevant and stay interested in what we're doing.
Wow. But tell me something, in a market like Bombay, is it easy to launch something as niche as this?
It's been difficult largely because the awareness is less. Now there's like a booming industry of people making all these vegan cakes, and the minute you ask them, is your chocolate dairy free? They have no idea. Like, using dark chocolate does not mean that it's dairy free. And this is the problem that I face everywhere, that the education is still limited and nobody is going out of their way to teach. And this is why when I started, the first thing I did is that I know I would sell food, but I would also teach, because you must know what you are buying. And even with gluten-free, there's a whole range of things with gluten-free. Like, you have to make sure the baking powder, baking soda is also gluten-free. If you bake any bread and you're using yeast, the yeast has to be gluten-free. So people don't know these things and then they end up buying product. So first and foremost, a lot of people buy product because it's a trend and not because they have the intolerance. And secondly, for people who do actually have the intolerance, they are in danger, because now they are exposed to many things that are in the market that may not actually be of good quality. And a lot of people brand their stuff as organic when it really isn't, because everybody who's working in the organic space knows the price point. So it's impossible for them to sell at that point and make a profit. It's not like it wouldn't be organic. And this is what I mean, like, that there is a certain lack in the education and awareness. But I have found that if a customer is willing to give me their time, even at an event, if I'm selling and doing a pop-up or a farmer's market, and I have that 5 minutes with the customer and they're receptive, then I can definitely impart that education. But it all depends on consumer to consumer. But there is a want for it, which I appreciate. There is a willingness that I want to learn. Of course, now with being vegan and gluten-free for like 3 years, now the latest sort of trend and requests I get is keto. Like, everybody wants to know, are you going to put any keto desserts on the menu? Now, the problem with keto is I don't believe in it. And my main thing is I can't make food for a category I don't believe in. And the main problem with keto is that ultimately, like, you have to use egg as a binder, and then I can't be vegan. And then the sweeteners they use are largely synthetic, erythritol and stevia. And the problem with these is, like, they're nutritionally zero. If something has gone through so much process in a factory that the calorie value is zero, can you imagine what nutrition it would be? And this is what I mean. People have become a little bit obsessed with calories and stop looking at food as a whole. And same thing even with dairy. We looked at dairy because it gives us calcium. So the marketing industry sold you a nutrient, but they didn't sell you nutrition. So we stop looking at wholesome nutrition. And that's sort of what we urge people to do, to look at like how you getting all your requirements in, and not by giving up food, but by including the right kind.
I'm just curious to ask, does a gluten-free or a dairy-free product taste good?
It's very easy. See, it's not that big a deal that people make out of it. For example, if you eat your regular roti sabzi at home, you just replace your wheat roti with rice, or you do a buckwheat. I'm not a big fan of mixing grains, like doing two grains together for rotis. I feel like you should just do one grain meals. It's easier for your body to understand and digest. You can replace your breads by making, you know, cleaner quinoa seed breads or chia seed breads, or just buckwheat, just different. It's work that'll require. Go into the kitchen and cook and be aware of what's happening. It's not something you can just leave on your house help. So there was a lot of like internationally that I was bringing in things so that I could sort of put in that product in. And some things we still source internationally because they are cheaper and the quality is far superior. For example, raw cacao, which is the purest form of chocolate, doesn't have any dairy. It's a superfood. It's high in antioxidants, which we use in pretty much all of our dessert. We get it in South India, but it's roasted. So what happens is when you roast the cacao grain, it loses its nutrition. So that we still bring from abroad. We don't get it here. And the quality we get here is not that potent. It's not that strong and it's still not that great. But for example, chia seeds were not available here 3 years ago and now they're everywhere. So things are coming in, like goji berries. Goji berries are from Kashmir. They used to be exported out and then imported back to us, which was rather silly. And now finally Kashmiri people are supplying to us and it's coming. The system is being organized that we can have access to our own food. Like Kashmir has beautiful walnuts, you know, so now we're getting those as well. So dry fruit organization is happening. We're getting cashews from Goa. So we're sourcing also close to native region. You know, but I would be lying if I said that everything I get is from India. That's not been possible for me in the kind of food I want to create, because I've always wanted to push my boundary. So cooking classes teach recipes with all the ingredients available locally. That's a principle we have. We don't teach them ingredients that are not available here. So we use the cacao powder that's available here. We use the rice grains that are available here. And we use the abundance of dry fruit that we are gifted with. So we use what is available here. We highlight coconut as one of the best ingredients, which we have, most natural, and can be like, you can have 1,000,000,000 uses from coconut. So there are a lot of things that we do where we meet them halfway. But say I'm selling a product, I need to be excited about it. And I need to be able to sell something that I would not get anywhere else in India. That's the USP of a brand anyway. Today when Pooja Dhingra started Le 15 Patisserie, she was the first person to sell macaroons. So today she is a champion in it. And this is what you need to do. You need to push a boundary and create something that nobody else is doing. So when we started, I was very clear I wanted to do desserts that nobody else was doing and just make sure that they were so clean that even if people ate them, they would digest really well.
So Ramina, when you go out eating, do you take your time to choose what you want to order? I mean, what do you keep in mind when you do that?
So whenever I go out to eat, my friends are very supportive of my lifestyle. And I largely pick Asian restaurants. Asian restaurants are all vegan friendly and are largely gluten free, because pretty much, like for example, a pad thai is always rice noodles, or you could always request for rice noodles if they don't have, and they'll always have it on the menu. All the curries are coconut milk based if they're vegetarian. If there's anything with paneer, you ask them to put tofu. So things like this are very easy to do. It's not like your life is over and you'll have no social life. But more than anything, now almost all restaurants on their menu have V and GF as, you know, the symbols to know if it's vegan and gluten-free. So restaurants are also picking up on the trend. The next thing you will see by end of this year is keto. They'll have, like, you know, a keto sign for that. This is keto friendly, that is keto friendly. So I found it really easy to go about living my life and still have a social life, because I don't feel like I've ever compromised on anything. Even if my friends took me to an Italian restaurant, I would eat the sides because I'm not fussy. It doesn't bother me. And now even a place like Ray's Pizza is doing vegan pizza. You know what I mean? So the opportunity is abundant and food options are abundant. So I really don't feel ever like I'm compromising on my lifestyle.
We hear Yogi Sattva is under renovation. Can we expect a vegan restaurant, something in Bandra? What are your future plans and upcoming events, and where can we follow it?
I'm not inclined towards a restaurant yet, but there is something in store for everybody in Bombay to, you know, possibly come to. I'm not going to reveal any details yet because it's still getting ready, but there is definitely going to be a space for Yogi Sattva where you can come and buy product. So largely through our Instagram at I am a Yogi Sattva or through our website yogisattva.com. But now, for example, we are about to do Pernia's pop-up. We will be at Design One this year. And we're going to be starting cooking classes that are more professional. So for 5 days and then a level one and a level two. So starting programs where you can really train yourself to understand this lifestyle and then choose what you want to do with that knowledge. Whether you want to go forth and be a vegan chef, whether you want to sort of improve your restaurant menu, does not matter. You are free to do whatever you want with the education, but it's really to equip people with the tools they need to make everyday food exciting, because I find that is the most challenging. Largely all the cooking classes you go to in Mumbai are about feast food. So if you go, it's food that you would eat as a celebration. So you're learning all these amazing recipes, but it's not sustainable food. You can't eat this every day. And my program is sustainable eating. It's sustainable nutrition. It's making your everyday lunch and dinner and a meal to look forward.
It was a total pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
That totally cleared my mind. So I'm glad we are at Starbucks where Ravina and I can enjoy some dairy-free drink. If this episode was informative for you, do not forget to rate, like, share and comment. My Instagram handle is Dakar123 where we can catch up on anything to do with food. Make sure you don't miss out on my next episode a fortnight later. It will have lots of tips and tricks about being a foodstagrammer. Till then, keep listening Dakar Food Podcast on SoundCloud, Audio Boom, Book My Show, Jukebox, iTunes, and Savan. Bye for now.